Welcome to the Spiritual Hustler Podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Zweig, multi-seven-figure serial entrepreneur, best-selling author, and branding and business coach. And this is a show where we are redefining the word hustle, reclaiming our true feminine nature of magnetism, and putting down the self-judgments and shame around loving to work and making a lot of money at it. On this show, you're going to learn how to stop hustling and start spiritually hustling. By pressing play, you are now part of a new movement of women who don't hustle for money. We hustle for meaning. We don't hustle from lack. We hustle for love. We don't hustle from survival. We hustle for humanity's thriving. We hustle toward healing the ancestral programming of fear and step into a new understanding of safety in the body to receive. This shift isn't going to only heal your life. It's going to make you a whole lot richer too. This is the Spiritual Hustler Podcast. Well, hello, my beautiful spiritual hustlers, and welcome back to the podcast. I am your host, Jess. As always, I am so grateful to be here having this conversation, as I am grateful every single week. You want to know why I'm so grateful? Well, first of all, let me just say that gratitude is real. It's the ultimate life hack to get you out of any low vibrational state in a matter of seconds when we tune into just how grateful we are, how grateful we can be, how grateful we should be for the gift it is to be alive. I certainly have needed to anchor into my gratitude practice so much lately. You guys, we all are because we all live on the same planet at the same time. That September eclipse portal, yo, what fuckery was that? I had a really, really charged month. It was intense, you guys. And I keep holding to this statement. It's one of my absolute favorite statements, that many things can be true at the same time. You can be going through deep stress and anxiety and be madly in love with your partner. You can be in financial scarcity and you can be so grateful about how abundant your life is because you have a roof over your head and food in your kitchen. You can be struggling with your health and be so grateful for the vitality of your relationships and friendships. It's just so important to anchor in to the heart, you know? And speaking of the heart, I just want to tell you guys, my heart is so full knowing that I get to come on week to week with my solo episodes or the guests that I'm bringing you and have this conversation with this community, you guys. And let me tell you something. I know that I'm a little biased, but I've been around a minute. I've seen a lot of communities. I've seen a lot of spaces and places and networks. And I am telling you that the Spiritual Hustler tribe, the women that listen to this show, the women that come in from all over the world into this community are the most amazing women in the game. I'm talking about you. There is something about the frequency of this audience and the women that come through my community, personally in my business. I am just so crystal clear that there is no space like it where we can come in as awake, conscious, deeply remembered, deeply on the path, badass, bright, beautiful, light worker sisters, and really rise together. So just know by listening, you are part of something really important on the planet right now. And I am humbled and I am privileged to be the woman that simply opened up the space. So thank you for coming in. Thank you for meeting me here. Thank you for being here. And if this show has impacted you in any way whatsoever, please make sure that you are subscribed to the podcast. We have so many incredible episodes coming out and you are not going to want to miss a single one. And if you haven't yet left a review, just take a couple seconds. It takes just a few seconds out of your day. And I know time is so limited for so many of us, but if you were to just stop, drop, and open up Apple, type in 5 stars, leave a couple sentences. Apple is where most people in the world listen to their podcasts, and the reviews really, really, really help the show grow. And if this show has impacted your life or the guests that I'm going to be bringing to you or have brought to you, if there's a specific episode that has touched you, or you just want to generally leave some high vibe love for other people to come read to know what the show is really all about, please go ahead and do that. It would mean the world to me personally, and it really does help the show grow. And finally, if this podcast resonates with you, share it with a friend. Share it on social. Tag me on Instagram. I will reshare it. I'll come find you. And don't forget to watch us on YouTube. I just had a whole bunch of incredible guests come through the Spiritual Hustler podcast studio in the flesh, in person, in Nashville. And you got to see our cute clothes, you guys. You got to see the in-person connection conversations in the moment and watch this podcast, particularly this one today with my incredible guest on YouTube. So speaking of my incredible guest, you guys, oh, get ready. Dr. Marie Mabuni came into my life many, many years ago, and we've just stayed so connected in the ether. And today, you know, she's going to share her story, but she actually is doing a in-person, this is why I think it'd be so powerful to watch this live. She did a in-the-moment healing, a heart healing on abandonment. We went into a deep meditative state and she channeled. And if you can, while you're listening to this, maybe not be in your car or not be on a walk, or maybe if you are on a walk, find a bench and sit down. It's just a few minutes of the episode, but she basically gave her medicine and magic to the entire community. And I was certainly impacted by that moment in our interview. And it was one of the most special moments I've ever had on the entire Spiritual Hustler podcast. So in case you don't know who Dr. Marie Mabuni is, she is known as the leadership shaman. She blends over 18 years of medical experience with more than 1,000 soul-led trauma-informed healing ceremonies. She supports high achievers just like you and I who have reached external success but long for something so much deeper. She's here to really help women, people, harmonize the mind, body, heart, and soul, to awaken their truest gifts and to live in joyful alignment. She's the founder and CEO of Heart Leadership and the Source Codes Mystery School. She offers transformational experiences in soul purpose alchemy, executive consciousness coaching, and sacred plant medicine facilitation. Her work infuses neuroscience, ancient wisdom, and cosmic energy to catalyze profound healing and embodied leadership. She's also the author of her best-selling book, Healing the Five Wounds of the Heart, Free Yourself from the Bonds of the Past. And we went really deep on these five wounds today, and one of the wounds pricked my heart, and we went all the way in with her incredible shamanic guidance, codes, leadership, and healing. And I'm so honored that she was so gracious enough to share these gifts with my entire community today. So without further ado, here is my amazing conversation with the incredible Dr. Marie Mabuni. Welcome to the Spiritual Hustler podcast.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I am so honored to be here. This is a long time coming.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
The honor is mine. I have deep reverence for you in the world and what you're up to. And I'm so excited to unpack it because you've got codes. I call them codes for my community today. Before we get into all the things I want to talk about, I want to ask you my very first question. You know the essence of the show, the spiritual hustler, hustling for meaning over money, hustling for success in a new vibration. Hustling as women who are leading a new earth. What are you, Marie, spiritually hustling for?
What a beautiful question. I'm hustling for this new earth and also for the empowerment of women. I call it unconditional empowerment, meaning wherever you need it.
Yes.
Could be empowerment in your voice, in your beauty, physical, financial, spiritual, emotional, intellectual. And the reason I use the word empowerment is that I think it encompasses everything. Yes, and that is what I see will truly shift the consciousness of Earth when we are all empowered.
Let's go.
It's such an honor to link arms with you, like I say, and ride. Because I say this often to women like you. We're here for the same reason. We do it differently. We have different gifts. We have different modalities. We have different models. But we all are here for the same mission. And that is to awaken more love and light and remembrance on this planet.
I love that. Actually, you know, to all my clients, I tell them, love is my transformational technology, actually.
Say more about that.
So what I mean is that love is at the base of everything that I do. This is why I can have non-judgment, empathy, compassion, seeing sameness.
Yes.
And uplifting, up-leveling, co-elevation cannot happen without love.
Amen.
And when somebody's in front of me, all they see is love.
I can vouch for that.
And that gives them permission then to bloom, evolve, grow, ascend, what is it, whatever it is that they want or wish or dream. Yes.
Because love is the fabric of all that there is. It's who we are.
Aho.
Aho. So let's go back before you came into this work, because we were just talking about this before we started. You were a doctor in the Western sense of the word, and you became a doctor at 23 as a woman in Africa. And that wasn't, from what I just picked up, the easiest sort of entree into this work. And I want to talk about that part of your story, but I really want to also unpack the alchemy of your story.
I love that.
Yeah.
More on alchemy a little later.
A lot more on alchemy.
So I was born in Cameroon, Africa, and it's a beautiful country. And I graduated from medical school at 23 as a woman. And first of all, it's not like in the United States where you can just say, oh, I want to go to medical school and, you know, go to the university and apply. There was only one medical school for the whole country.
Wow.
And the whole country has to take a national exam, and they only take 75 people.
Oh my.
Wow. You know, per year.
Per year. That's insane.
And, you know, the year that I took the exam, I think there were like 12,000 people. And because it's like the whole country, right? Uh-huh. And actually, my parents didn't want me to do, you know, go into medicine because they thought it's so hard. It's not for girls. And but that was my calling. So I did it. And we were only four girls in my class.
I was going to ask, I'm sure.
Yes, only four. And we're still actually in contact. And during the whole thing, especially the first year, it was really difficult to be accepted. We were told things like, oh, you need to be married and bear children. And this was many years ago. I don't know how it is today, but that's what it was. And then when I graduated and started working, the experience I had was I had to prove myself every day. Like patients would come and ask to see the doctor, and the nurse would be like, this is the doctor. And they would say things like, no, I mean a real doctor, like she's a woman. And after enduring that for a year, I was like, I can't live my life proving me, right? And so that's when I decided to come to America for the freedom to be, actually.
It's beautiful.
Yes.
I understand it's beautiful.
Okay, sisters, truth bomb time. Your brain and your nervous system don't give a flying F about your goals, your dreams, or your next launch strategy. The only thing that they are seeking is familiarity. That's why healing and growth and expansion often feels like resistance. That's because it's unfamiliar. Microflow is here to change that. Founded by Christy Nault, a root cause health expert, Microflow blends psilocybin, yep, that's magic mushrooms, lion's mane, cacao, rose, and blue lotus into the cleanest microdosing supplements on the market. 100% organic, Reiki infused, and third-party lab tested. Now, these formulas, which I have been using for 3 years and have completely changed my life, are designed to quiet what Christy calls the default mode network, aka your brain's autopilot, and ignites what's called neurogenesis, helping your brain to build new pathways wired for vitality, trust, receptivity, courage, abundance, confidence, and connection. Whether you're addressing anxiety, which I've struggled with, ADHD, burnout, which I've struggled a lot with, or just want to feel more clear and in flow in your everyday life, Microflow is a nervous system resourcing tool that is safe for everyday life. Yes, even while parenting, working, driving, or even podcasting. Wink, wink. I want you to start with the Exude and Surrender bundle, which harmonizes your system to sync with your cycle and the lunar flow of the moon. And for somatic healing and deeper journeys, the Theta Blend supports breathwork, intimacy, and your spiritual practice. Now, if you are ready to upgrade the entire technology of your cells in your body and rewire your subconscious mind, go to microflowhealing.com, use code Jessica10 for $10 off of your order and receive access to Christy's free 2.5 hour magic mushroom microdosing masterclass. Yep, all my goodies just for you. That's microflowhealing.com and use Jessica10 to get $10 off of your order.
And you worked in Western medicine for quite some time.
Yes.
But you don't anymore.
No.
I wouldn't say, I'll just say that I've been on my own health journey. I don't know if you know this about me, but I had an autoimmune disorder for 10 years. Yeah, it was really dark. And Western medicine just failed me. I had all the surgeries. I was on all the prescription medications. Anyway, it wasn't until I found my own sovereignty and spiritual practice that I healed. So I think you're speaking to a very warm audience when it comes to the power of transformation with physical health through the lens of spirituality.
Absolutely. I was an anesthesiologist and did that for many years. And I was in the spiritual closet. I had denied that part of me so hard that I actually used to laugh at people who had crystals.
Really?
Yes. Like, that is true denial that goes like deep in the subconscious where I was like, what are they doing?
Wow. It's so big for you to say.
Yeah. Yes, until one day, actually this happened in 2012, you know, people were saying the world will end, the Mayan calendar, all that stuff. But for me, all my gifts came online, like I couldn't hide anymore. But I wasn't aware of it. Mm. And so I remember a friend going to a crystal shop and we were just shopping. And so I entered and a crystal started talking to me.
Wow. What did it say?
And it was like, I've been waiting for you. It was a rose quartz. I remember a rose quartz sphere. And so I asked the attendant to, it was in a glass cabinet and they gave it to me. And I couldn't let go of this crystal. And the crystal stayed with me for 2 days. And it told me that it came to heal my heart. I took it into surgery, like in my bra. Now, this is, you know, the person who was laughing. And it helped me remember my deep relationship with crystals, with those frequencies.
You work with many frequencies today. So in 2012, I actually love that you brought that up, because I remember that time when everyone was talking about the world was ending, but really it was when the world was waking up.
Right.
Which required a death, right?
Yes.
To be reborn. And I really feel, I mean, I'm 44, I've been around a minute too. And I'm like, that felt like the turning dial where this whole spiritual conversation really started to take shape very publicly and start to expand to where it is today. And I think it's just beginning. I think we're waking up more and more. But back to your awakening and those gifts coming online, what then, like what started to unveil itself to you beyond the crystal connection?
So actually what it did, you know, when I was talking about that remembrance, it helped me remember who I am.
Yeah.
That I had been hiding, pushing down, numbing. And so I started coming out of the closet in my hospital.
Really?
Yes, I did. And so the first thing I did was, all my patients, I would ask them, you know, can I lead you to sleep with a journey or meditation? Or do you want to count from, you know, 10 to 1? Everybody wanted a meditation or a journey. And then what I started to notice was that whenever I brought the patient to the operating room and on the table, everybody would just shut up and wait for that meditation. I started to realize that everyone was participating and I didn't have to say anything.
Wow.
And then started bringing crystals. And then the next thing that happened was one of the surgeons had his wife who was going to have surgery. And he said, I don't know what you do, but your patients always do well and they don't die.
That's a good sign.
So I want you to take care of my wife. And I did the same thing. And I asked her if she would be okay with like energy medicine, and she was like, sure. And so I took care of her and she had no pain after surgery. And she wrote a letter to the director of the hospital. And she said that I wish we had more doctors like her.
Wow.
I know she did some metaphysical things. I don't know what they are, but I feel good.
Mm.
I feel like, and so all the fear I had, because I thought that if people knew I was spiritual, they would think, oh, it's woo, and what is that? And they wouldn't respect me. And then I realized that, no, woo is the game.
Yes, woo is the game. And here we are.
Yeah.
Okay, so I love that. And if I could just reflect, when I was running my branding agency, I would go and I get hired by corporate companies to teach personal branding. And my work was always personal empowerment and transformation disguised as personal branding. And I'd walk in and I would, you know, do my woo game, but like covert, you know, like I knew I was in front of a corporate audience. And they were like dry sponges. They were like so hungry for it in a way they didn't even know they were hungry for it. And I realized it was an affirmation. And I share this for everyone listening that's afraid to show up and really be that person, that guide, that coded, conscious person in the room, that you're actually in front of an audience that, or a room of people or whatever it might be, that are starving for it and are way more open than you maybe are giving them credit for. And I think that's what keeps a lot of women sort of stuck in that closet.
Yes. I agree with you. And the reality is that the essence, the iconic essence of us as humans is that spiritual part of us. It's like undeniable. Yes. And when we open, even if it's a window, we realize how much people, like you said, are hungry. a lot of people are lost and they don't know what to grab. Where is hope? Real hope. And it comes from this. And this is not about evangelizing anyone or trying to forcefully change anyone. This is about sharing what is beyond this. What is the meaning? Why are we here? These deep questions.
Which I think is either at a conscious or unconscious level, everyone's desire to understand.
Yes.
Everyone's.
And I remember, before quitting or releasing my medical doctor job, I was teaching residents. And I started to teach them in this way, meaning woo, covert. Uh-huh. And I will always remember one of the medical students said that you are the first doctor teacher who treats us as humans.
Mm-hmm. Wow, my heart.
Because, you know, the thing about medical school, we're almost like robots. It's like go, go, go and do, do, do. It is a tough profession. And it doesn't mean we have to lose our humanity and our spirituality, but I will always remember that. I mean, how profound.
Yes, totally profound.
Everywhere. If we just allow ourselves to trust,
yeah,
we can bring healing, transformation. But for me, all that is really allowing people to go beyond where they are, allowing people to see themselves. You said something when we started this conversation. You said, I saw you and I saw you as well, right? Beyond whatever was going on there at that moment. And sometimes it's that look when you are truly seen that can get you to the next level, the next iteration of you. And so by staying silent, I think we do a disservice to ourselves and others.
Thank you for naming that. It's so powerful and so simple and so deeply true. You quit the medical world. I want to flash forward to today.
Yes.
Because I know you work with more than crystals. You are multidimensional. Yes. In your work.
Yes.
You have a beautiful platform. You have authored a book. You've been really a spiritual thought leader in a really unique lane. And so can you explain how you alchemized your deep expertise in physical well-being to what you're doing today?
I love that. So when I talked about alchemy, when I said more on alchemy, I was meditating today before our podcast, and one of my guide is Merlin, and he said that I'm here to bring alchemy, transfiguration. And again, today, it was like that. He said alchemy. And then you're using the word alchemy. I just wanted to. So I think that one of my gifts is to translate essence into form. And it also comes from that space of love that I hold. But when I started, it wasn't really easy because, you know, when I was getting ready to leave, everybody said, oh, you have to be smart and, you know, save some money and have a cushion. And I did that. And then something happened and I had to spend the money, and it happened twice. Wow. And then I was like, oh, I have to take a leap of faith. I had to take a leap of faith. So that's why all those things were happening. And so it was like, okay, here I go. And I didn't really know. I mean, I didn't even have a website. I didn't know anything, you know, in as a doctor, like the hospital does the marketing and all that. And I remember, you know, the little money I had was like really going, like fading. And I clearly have this picture of myself. I was at a Trader Joe's. It's a store in California. And I was there and I was calculating, what can I buy here that is not organic and it's going to be okay? Because up until then, I didn't even realize how expensive nutritious organic food is, because I would just buy it, right? And at that moment, I said, this is not okay. I said, we have to talk. So I went home and I sat the divine down. And I was like, listen, I want to remind you that I live on earth. And on earth, we have to pay for stuff. Maybe you kind of forgot. And you asked me to do this. So, you know, you need to take responsibility. I was talking like I'm talking to you now.
Wow.
And that's when things started to, you know, like 2 days later, I met a friend who was like, oh, you know, I heard that you're doing this. And she came to my home and I did a healing session and it was like on Instagram Live and people liked, and like, that's how it started.
That's how it started.
Yeah. Because I was like, you know what? Just a reminder, Earth, like, I don't breathe oxygen and, you know, yes, I do. And I live on energy and frequency. And I also have a body.
Yeah, that too. Wow.
And then the next thing was that I need to have teachers of Earth. Like, I had many, I do have many teachers. Like, you are one of my teachers. You are one of the women I most admire because of your realness and owning it all. And then it was like finding a mentor that can guide me into this entrepreneurship journey.
Yes.
And I found a few, and I'm not going to go there, but it was always this trust that I am supported and I am doing what I came here to do. And it will translate. And I remember those days I was thinking a lot about abundance and abundance. And then it was like, abundance is really about knowing that all your needs are met.
Yes, it is.
At the moment. Mm. Maybe you want to be a millionaire, but do you have a home? Are you hungry? Do you have water? Do you, right? And so gratitude, one of my biggest practices. And it just started to grow from there. And because of that trust and that reliance and the knowingness that I'm on my mission, things would happen like coincidences. You know, you talked about my book earlier.
Yes.
So I went to I wanted to go to the gathering of the shamans. It happens in Sedona. And all the tickets were sold out. And I wanted to go because a friend of mine had just gotten married and she lived there. And I had painted a painting for her. So I wrote the organizer. I was like, is there any way I can come? And they said, oh, you could be a volunteer. I'm like, yes. So I went there I was a volunteer giving speakers like their waters and making sure everything is okay. And then one morning, like the next day, I was taking the painting to go and give my friends who were attending the event. And on my way, I met this person, this man, and he was like, wow, what a beautiful painting. And I was like, oh, thank you. I'm just, you know, it's a gift for my friend. And he started looking and he said, where do you, where's your gallery? And I'm like, I don't do that. I just did it for my friend. And so we started having a conversation and I told him my journey of creativity. And he was like, I want you to speak tomorrow, you know, to speak at the event. And I was like, you know, he was wearing shorts. And I'm like, who are you? He's like, oh, I'm the one who organized this. And so I thought, you know, it would be like a couple of days later, I would like prepare and everything. And the next morning he sends me a text. He's like, you up? I'm like, what do you mean? I don't know what I'm going to say. He was like, well, you have 15 minutes. And I went on stage. Now there's like Don Miguel Ruiz and like people like that. And I start to speak and people are like bawling, like me too. And then he's like, next year, you're going to be a speaker at this gathering of the shamans with Don Miguel Ruiz. And I'm not kidding. Now, I remember I had always loved Don Miguel Ruiz and wanted to work with him in any way. Wow. Boom. In the linear world, like how long would it have taken me? And then after that first event, when I spoke, he was like, I want you to write a book.
The organizer.
Yes. He has a publishing house. So I had like a book deal.
So he asked you to speak and then he started asking you, would you want to write a book?
No, he said, you need to write a book.
And that's what was the impetus for you to write your book?
Yes.
And what was his publishing house, may I ask?
It's called Hierophant Publishing House. Incredible. Yes.
And did you have a book inside of you?
I had many things I wanted to talk about, but I hadn't yet crystallized it into I'm writing a book.
Really?
And so I went home and it was like, love is my transformational technology. And I started thinking, what are the things that stop us from receiving love? And it's like the shadow wounds of the heart. And so I just kind of wrote about what I usually do with my clients and how I heal them. And I just had like a practice about the wounds of the heart, but the book was about the goddess.
Which goddess or the goddess?
The goddess. The
goddess.
Wow. The goddess.
Yeah.
That book has been inside of me for a while now. And I keep, sometimes when I'm meditating, I get this, the goddess is here.
Wow.
That is the title.
Damn.
But like, boom, right? Mm. And so he read all that, but then he went to that practice that I do where I just kind of shared like, you know, it was like a bonus that I would give people if they like, you know.
Right.
And then it's like, oh, this is the book.
This is the book. So the book, I just want to read the title because it's so beautiful. Healing the Five Wounds of the Heart. Free yourself from the bonds of the past. So can we talk? I'm so curious to know about these five wounds.
Yes.
Maybe we can talk about all of them, maybe a few of them, but take us through this because this is your original IP, your thought leadership.
Yes.
You crafted this.
Yes.
And isn't that amazing that you come up with like a grand concept, which is a beautiful concept. Goddess is here. But to have him click into, you know, that's the book that became the most tangible aspect. If you can walk us through what those five wounds are, I'm so interested.
Yes. Yeah, so the five wounds are the wound of abandonment, the wound of betrayal, the wound of judgment, the wound of denial, and the wound of separation.
Whew.
And these wounds actually rule our lives until we become aware of them. And they are associated with chakras as well. Like the wound of abandonment sits at the root chakra. It's huge. The wound of betrayal at the solar plexus chakra.
Mm-hmm. And the rest of them take us through.
Yes. and the wound of judgment is at the throat. Yes. Yes. And separation is at the crown. Mm.
Spiritual hustlers, I want to ask you guys something. What if the space you live in was just as aligned as the life you're building? I recently partnered with California Closets Nashville. And let me tell you, this wasn't just a home project. This was a spiritual experience. They didn't just help me organize my closet. They helped me see myself more clearly. Every drawer, every finish, every hidden feature I didn't even know I needed, it was designed for me and the life that I am building. Because when your space reflects your essence, your entire energy shifts. Now think about it. You start and end your day here in your closet. So what if your environment was designed to support not just your day, but your next level self, your rituals, your rhythm, your vision for the woman that you are becoming every day? That's what California Closets does. It's not just design, it's intention made visible. So if you're in Nashville, I can't recommend them enough. Their team, their craftsmanship, their customer care, it is next level. So here's your sign, babe. Dream bigger. Your space matters. Visit the link in the show notes to book your free consultation call and start your transformation today.
This is where we, this is a wound that had been deep in my life from early childhood. I used to feel like, how did I get in this family? I used to feel alien, like I don't belong here.
Yes.
Right? It's a wound.
Definitely.
Of course we belong here.
Yes, I know, but it's hard. I think, wow, actually I want to get to this word alien in a second. But
yes.
But this book, it takes you through the practices, I assume, of how to work with each of these wounds with practices and clearings and embodiment to
yes.
reground in those centers of the body.
Absolutely. Many, many practices and practical examples, even simple things like, you know, if you always say something like, I should have known.
Right.
That comes from the wound of betrayal, mm-hmm. where it's like, well, they're not going to do it for me, or they're not going to do it right, or it's always going to, it comes from betrayal. Right.
Can I ask a personal question?
Yes.
Do you mind if you give me a little coaching and healing live on this podcast?
Yes, please.
I only ask because I feel like a lot of women are going to relate to this. Mm-hmm. So I've been working with the chakra system for a long time, and I am, I think, pretty embodied from like the solar plexus up, you know, power, heart, voice, third eye connection. And it wasn't until about 4 years ago, like at the age of 40, that I even recognized that my root chakra was completely offline. And when you said that that was abandonment.
Yes.
I had a lot of abandonment issues at home, specifically with my mother.
Yes.
And I read this book, it's called Mother Hunger. And she said in this book, like, women who experienced abandonment grew up to, like, little girls who experienced abandonment grew up to be women who created cities. Like, right? So they could be protect, like self-protect.
Yes.
And I think we all have our own, obviously, journeys, traumas, and different woundings, but that unrootedness of safety mm-hmm. is such a core epidemic among women in this space, like female entrepreneurs, women who listen to my podcast. This root of this podcast itself, I say in the intro, is to remember that we are safe in our bodies.
Yes.
To receive all that we want.
Yes.
And if we weren't safe to begin with and we were abandoned, that can be something we work our whole lives to undo. And so if we can click into, and I think the rootedness in my work, at least, is really, it helps women they make more money. It helps them expand more into visibility because they feel safe. They feel rooted and connected, that the world isn't going to reject them, abandon them for being who they are and asking for what they want and what they need. So what practices around that wound, if we can take a page literally from your book?
Yes. Whew. So you said something really true, which is a lot of us women entrepreneurs and men suffer from this wound. And you talked about, you know, the different things that come from clearing that wound. And there's another thing I want to add before we go into the healing, which is belongingness. Belongingness, because I think another one of the biggest epidemics we have these days is the epidemic of loneliness, right? And so when it comes to your root chakra, the first thing first is actually knowing that you do have a root chakra, that awareness, because many people actually don't know or don't have awareness, or because of the pain that could actually be subconscious, they don't even want to look there, like it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And
totally, I feel that.
Yeah. And then the next thing that I want to bring here is that for everyone on the podcast, if it is safe to do so, please take a moment and bring your awareness into your perineum area, your base of the spine. There's a space here that holds the codes to your rootedness, your groundedness, your right to be here. And in this space, we usually have things that do not belong, stuff, baggage, suitcases, boxes, other people who are occupying this space. And just for a moment, allow yourself, you can say this word, I allow myself to let go and to release. And imagine that you have little trap doors at your perineum area and your feet area, and you just open these trap doors and let everything that doesn't belong to you, that is taking up space, that is keeping you small, isolated, that is keeping you wanting for more, but thinking you can never have enough, or you are not enough, or it's never meant for you. Thoughts, emotions, things, just let them fall. And you don't have to do anything. These are just trap doors. It's like upending a bottle full of water and opening the cap. The water just comes down. You don't have to push it down. You don't have to force it down. A lot that happens with the wound of abandonment is like we're literally like holding on for dear life. And you can open your hands and let go and know that you actually are supported. Because groundedness comes from Mother Earth, and she's immense and vast, and she holds you, and you can lean on her. And so clearing that space so that we can then, at this time, we're going to bring in the codes of safety. Now, safety is something that a lot of people fear because they're not used to it. It's like, what am I going to have to pay for? How do I earn this? And who am I? And I don't even know what it means. Especially safety in the body. So at this moment, when I say the word safety, maybe you feel it on one part of your body. We want to teach your body to know what it feels like to be safe. So anywhere that you feel this word safety on your body, bring your hand there. Maybe you're not safe in your heart. Maybe you don't feel safe in your voice. So safety is not just the root chakra, it's everything. And with the power of my intention, I am now sending codes of safety all through your body and Dara Sekan. Allow your body to relax and receive these codes. Receiving is another one. Sending the code of unconditional receiving. You don't have to pay for it. You don't have to earn it. You can just open to receive. We cannot receive when we closed. So say these words, I open to receive unconditionally so we can stop trying to earn everything because we are worthy. Worthiness is what comes through safety, receiving. Yes. Yes. Take a deep breath. Exhale. And now the last code is the code of love. And remembrance that you were never abandoned. You were never lost, and you were never alone. You were always guided on this journey.
Thank you, Marie.
Thank you. It was a deep wound for me. And actually, writing the book was an initiation. And I started, you know, I was giving myself like shamanic journeys and meditations and healings. And I kept asking, where did this start? Where did this start? And I remember the first image that I had was my mother. She had remarried and she was with her new husband. I was 3 years old and she was walking away from me with her new husband and they were holding pinkies. And when I went to my three-year-old self, her thought was, what would it take for my mother to hold my hand like that? And then I went even deeper. And my wound of abandonment started in utero.
Wow.
I went and I saw myself as a fetus. And at that time, my mother already wanted to get a divorce. And it was just chaos. They were fighting. And my fetus self, nobody was paying attention to me. Like, she was pregnant with me when she wanted. And so it was like fights or plans, or nobody talked to me. Nobody paid attention to me. And my thought, I can only call that thought, was I'm trapped. Because I have to be born. Like, I can't, right. I have nowhere to go. Wow. And to be born in this place where nobody is even paying attention.
Wow.
That was the root of my abandonment wound.
That's wild. I mean, not wild. I mean, that's
yes.
How deep it, and I believe that it can go even beyond that.
It's yes.
Our ancestral lineage, which is its absolute,
a whole other conversation. Yes. And so, yeah, I was able to heal that and bring my fetus self. And I can talk about it now. And the reason I'm sharing this is that sometimes when we become aware of our wounds, there can be a space where we start to blame ourselves or have gifts, guilt, like, why me, or why? Like, why questions are not our most powerful questions, because they kind of rhyme with like wine.
Yeah.
But like, yeah. What, how, when?
So good.
Because we go through this so that we can learn the path to get out and share it with others.
Right. Exactly. Thank you. I feel like I asked that question for a reason.
Yes.
I know that the women listening to this interview are grateful.
Mm. I
feel that.
I'm really happy that, you know, you ask. And the practice that I led was because of what I was sensing in the audience. Like, many people have their root chakras occupied by a lot of stuff,
yeah,
that is not theirs. And it feels like a hoarding type space.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's like you go to your home, your root is your home, but you have no place to sit or lie down. It's like, and so we needed to really clear that and let it go and release so that you have a blank slate. I can actually see that for all of you right now.
I felt that, and I No, they did. And I just want to personally say I did too. It's been, we were just talking about the eclipse season, and it's been really interesting about, you know, just to point to the importance of the ongoing journey of this work that you do and that we all need to do, just our own healing journey. There is no destination. There is really, truly the greatest journey we will ever take. It's why we came here, is to take this journey within, to heal and transmute and to alchemize lifetimes, trauma, identities over and over again. And I'll just say very vulnerably, I've done so much work on healing that part of my system, and I still need to heal it. I still need to clear it. Right. So
I got you.
I know you. Thank you for getting me. I have. Yeah.
Yes. I just want to say something about what you just said, which is that, you know, I hear, you know, a lot of my clients come and they're like, I've done so much work. And I would like to bring a little shift, because healing is coming into wholeness and integration. And so when we start to think that way, then it doesn't feel like work. Like, I mean, it is work. Let's not. It is work, and it is your journey home,
yes,
to yourself, right? So when you take a trip, you know, maybe by car, it's like sometimes you go to a gas station, you fill up your car. Sometimes you have to stop and or whatever, you know, it's like, it's not just zip in and out.
Right.
Even rivers on their journeys, they meander, they go left and right, but they're still going a certain direction.
Yes.
And when we start to think like that, I feel that we move away from like, am I being punished? Oh, it's never gonna happen. You know, like that kind of, you know, self-blame, because it's so easy, you know, for us to go there.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And we start to realize that, no, I'm picking up pieces of myself that, you know, speaking about the wounds that we have, like in abandonment, the biggest one is self-abandonment.
Yeah.
And like we are sometimes the perpetrators. And for me, my self-abandonment was that I had left the spiritual part of myself, like shut her down. And so it was like a whole part of me was not even functioning. Right. So it's such a beautiful thing to start to realize that we are calling ourselves home by going through these healings and transformations and challenges or joy or everything, right? It's a part of it.
So this is, you know, my philosophy, which is a good segue into where I want to take this next is, you know, we come here as a assignment. It is Earth School to live in this third dimension of polarity and duality, to evolve our souls through the exquisite pain of what fear manifests itself as and the exquisite beauty of what love manifests itself as. Those are the two polarities. And I really believe that we find our way home through our hearts. This is where I believe our soul lives, and our soul incarnated here in this human body to evolve itself, by knowing itself, by healing itself. And in turn, as it heals, it remembers that love is the building block of the entire universe. So that being said, I always move into some quick fire questions at the end. But I'm going to start with one of them because I know the answer to this already. but I just want to get your hot take. Okay. So
yes.
One of my questions is, do you believe in extraterrestrials? Yes or no?
Yes.
I know. Yes. It's part of what you talk about.
Yes.
And I'm just curious to know, given your background in sort of being closeted, then coming closeted, right. Giving shit to people who believed in crystals. And now you're like fully flexed in your own multidimensional spiritual mission. When did that come online for you? And how do you travel between like the Earth codes and the star codes?
Yes. Beautiful question. So first is when I accepted that I'm actually multidimensional.
Yeah.
Two, I accepted my power. Because during this journey, one of the things I realized that I was most afraid of was my power. Mm-hmm. And the first time I realized was I was angry and I was looking at somebody and I literally felt like my eyes had like laser beam and maybe I could hurt them. And I literally closed my eyes like, whoa, I have so much power. Mm. And then it was like, yes, my power is immense and it's okay. Huge.
Yeah.
I was so afraid of that.
Wow.
And when it comes to extraterrestrials, I mean, I kind of always knew.
Yeah. Like I am one. You're one. I'm looking at one.
Right. But I vividly remember an experience. I was facilitating a plant medicine journey for people in Costa Rica. And then at some point, and I know it's going to sound crazy, but at some point I saw like non-benevolent extraterrestrials like trying to come into the space, because I always protect the space. And at that time, I had so much fear. I actually thought I was gonna die. But then I remembered that fear is actually where we lose our sovereignty.
Yep.
That's when we are in fear. And in the spiritual world, you always have to be in sovereignty and know that fear is the great liar, right? And so at that time, I was like, what can I do here to like send these people away? And then it was like love. And so I told them without words, like, this space is only for love. And they didn't understand what love was. And so I remember that I was guided and my hand was moving, like I was writing codes, like mathematical equations that filled the whole room. Like, it was a huge room. Like, that's how much it took for me to explain what love was. And then when I finished, they were like, oh, and then they left.
Damn.
Yes.
That is amazing. I ask people this question every single show and I always get like the most amazing stories. I really do.
It was like the whole, it was like three-dimensional equations filling the room. Like, this is love. Wow. And if you are not love, you are not allowed.
Mm-hmm. Amen. That should be a motto for everyone, extraterrestrial or otherwise.
Yes.
Do you have a favorite spiritual book?
Wow, I have so many. I'm going to go with The Marriage of Isis and Thoth, just because it's like spirituality, wisdom, love, romance, ascension, all in one. And I'm so connected to Egypt, and Thoth is one of my guides. I love that book because I never know what I'm going to discover next. It's like, what? Amazing. Yes.
We have a spiritual hustler bookshelf, so we're going to add that. It's amazing.
Yes.
Second to last question. You mentioned Merlin. You just mentioned Thoth.
Yes.
I always ask, you know, because everyone comes on the show is so coded and connected. If there is a specific angel or deity or goddess or archetype, archangel that you feel particularly close to, and it sounds like you have a few, but maybe if you had to choose one.
Well, there's one that chose me, Hathor.
Yes.
I know you work a lot with Hathor. And actually, this happened when I was in Greece.
Wow. Yeah, well, Greece is connected to Egypt.
Yes. Yeah. And as I was in the temple of Artemis and meditating, and then Hathor came and she was like, you are Hathor. And, you know, you need to take that name. And I was like, yeah, sure. I mean, okay. You know, at the time, you know, there are many people who are like, my spiritual name is, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it's usually after, you know, initiations and everything. But I had never had that. Like, I had never had anybody give me a spiritual name after all my, you know, learnings and teachers. And so I was like, wow, I get a spiritual name too. And then she was like, no, actually you need to change your name.
Wow.
So she was like, it needs to be in my ID. So I had to, you know, when I came back to LA, I had to, go to the Justice Department or whatever department that was and petition for a name change. And then they had to publish it in a newspaper. So for 5 days, you know, in case I was like a criminal or, And yeah, Hathor is on my passport, on my ID.
What?
Yeah, my name is Marie Hathor Mbuni. Yes.
I can't. Okay, we have with so much. We'll talk later. Hathor is my girl. So
yes.
I want to hear all about that story.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Okay, final question.
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean to you, Marie, to be a co-creator of the new earth?
Wow. This question itself holds so much because it already says I am a co-creator of the universe and I know I am the co-creator of the universe. What it means to me is that, first of all, accepting myself, my power, my codes, allowing myself to be a pure and open channel so that those, like I have always said, that whomsoever comes into my presence, may they receive what they need without me talking or doing anything. And so I am really here for that. And I just think that it's such a miraculous mission for all of us. We get the opportunity to actually co-create. I mean, like, so I feel a deep sense of reverence, of humility, of gratitude that we get to play at this level. And everybody can.
And everybody can. Thank you so much for today.
Thank you. Thank you so much for today. And, you know, the whole time, my whole body was vibrating. Like the energy in this room is like so amazing.
Thank you. Wow. That's huge endorsement from you. I thank you. I spend a lot of time in here co-creating.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you for your gifts. And I can vouch your presence is medicine. Mm. Thank you for blessing my audience.
Thank you. Thank you for being the embodiment of permission and allowing, and such a beautiful mirror that we can all come and look at ourselves through you. And grow ourselves through you and remember ourselves through you.
I receive.